Father, I pray that you would speak, God, through me. God, that I would decrease, and God, you would increase. So, God, we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. Guys, grab a seat. But tonight we are continuing on in this your questions thing where we're just letting you guys ask some questions and kind of vote for it. The one that was supposed to win for tonight was what does the Bible say about dinosaurs and God and science? But I'm telling you, you're going to have to come back next week to hear that one because Jordan Fowler was going to be here tonight and he was going to be speaking on that. But Brent Minter, if you know Brent, he does worship for us on Sunday mornings. Used to do it over here. He is like sick with type A flu, and the doctor has quarantined him to his house, so he will not be leading worship this Sunday. Brent, or Jordan will be. So y'all get me tonight talking about the second runner-up tonight. How do you convert a friend? How do you convert a friend? How do you tell someone about Jesus, and they look at you and say, man, because of what you said, because of what you did, man, I gave my life to Jesus. How do you convert a friend? I got an easy answer for you tonight. You can't. That's the simple question. That's the simple answer. The simple answer is you guys, in your power, me, in my power, in my might, in my human ability, can do absolutely nothing to convert anybody. You don't have that ability. You don't have that power. Conversion is the work of God. Conversion is only something that God can do. You look at the scripture, Romans 5, 6 through 10, it says this, for while we were still weak, while we were still human, while we were still broken, while we were still sinful and rotten, at the right time, I love that phrase. Like in my Bible, I have that underlined and highlighted because that just shows the power of God. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified, made different, made right by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him. But I know you guys have this question where you're like going, okay, so what do I do then? Like, I've got a friend who doesn't know Jesus. And I want him to know Jesus. So Dustin, you need to tell me what I can do so that I can convert this friend to be a Christian so that when they die, they don't go to hell, but they go to heaven. I want that for them. And I see that you have that desire, you have that longing, and I know you have those friends. There's not a magic prayer you can tell them. There are not a step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that they go, if you do this and this and this and this and this, then you're saved. It doesn't work like that. So does that mean that we just kind of sit back with our arms crossed and just go, all right, then I won't do anything? It's all up to God anyway. God saves people. God changes people's heart. God regenerates them. God calls them. God does all the work. So me, follower of Jesus, I'm just going to sit back and just do nothing. I'm just going to mind my own business. I'm just going to walk with Jesus the way I want to walk with Jesus, and I'm just not going to do anything with it. That's not what you're called to do. So in this salvation process, in this whatever we're supposed to do for God, what is that we're supposed to do? We are to be an outpost for the greatness of God. We are people who stand as a reflector of God's greatness, his mercy, his grace, his holiness, everything about him, as one who stands amongst people who don't know him so that people can see us and see the greatness of God on us, and then they see that there's something more to life. Let me tell you something. Lost people don't just walk around going, oh, there's got to be more to this. Man, I need you, Jesus. I need you, God. They don't walk around and do that. But they do walk around and they see people like you who are different. They see people with the skin of Jesus on them reflecting who God is so that people go, maybe there is something more because you're different. Scripture says it like this, Matthew 5, 13 through 16. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. What is the purpose of salt? You put salt on food to do what? You make it taste better. How many of you are saltaholics? Like, I'm the kind of person, I put salt on top of salt. Like, I'm like, salt is good. So if a little bit of salt is good, a whole lot of salt is better. That's just my philosophy. But I also want to take care of my heart, and I realize that salt is bad for your heart. So I found out that sea salt is better for your heart. So I put lots of sea salt on my food now. All right, and I've got the little expensive dispenser that like grinds it up for you, and you can change the coarseness of it to make it real, real fine, or you can make it real coarse, and I like it like a rock. So when I'm biting, it's just like, that was salt, and that was good. We are salt of God's greatness, so that when people are around us, it's as if they taste and see the goodness of God. We are that seasoning. The scripture goes on to say this right here. He says that you are not only just salt, but you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. So you are an outpost. You are a light fixture of God's greatness so that when people see you, they are really seeing the glory of God when you are walking and living according to what he's called you to live. That's why we have got to live in obedience to Jesus Christ. That's why we've got to live according to the King's standards, the kingdom's way for us. We've got to live that because that helps us be that light. So when we come in here and we just sing our songs and we act all religious and spiritual and we leave and people know that we came in here and they know what happens in the church for the most part, and they know that when you leave there, all of a sudden they go, wait a minute, I thought you were supposed to be different. I'm not seeing this beacon of God's greatness and light coming from you. I'm seeing just whatever I see in the world, it's just the same. You're no different. So this is how it works. God's glory shines down on us. God's glory opens our eyes to who he is. It's God who says, listen, you are in need of me. You are broken. You are sinful. And you are in need of Jesus Christ. That's God's doing. That's not your doing. You can't convince someone that they need Jesus. And so for every one of you who sit here tonight and say, I am a follower of Jesus, it is not because Dustin preached a good sermon at some point in time. It's not because the band played a great song for you and you were like, oh, this is so great, I need some of you, Jesus. It's because Jesus reached down out of heaven and said, you are in need of me. And he shone his life into the depths of you and changed you. And as a result of Jesus changing you, the light of Jesus now lives inside of you. And as it hits you, what it becomes is this reflection unto the world. It becomes this reflector. And so now when people see you, they don't really see you, but they see the greatness of God. And just like you're wincing at the light, people can't not see you and not be different. People will see you and know that there is something different about you if you truly allow the light of Jesus to shine through you. And let me tell you something. That's an obedience issue for you. That's something that you decide on a day in, day out basis. Am I going to be a beacon of God's light in a dark world? We wake up in the morning and we decide that. Before you even step foot into your school, you have already made a decision. Am I going to shine the light of God's greatness in this dark world? Because that's what you're called to do. You're not called to go in and convert your school. For some of you, you're kind of going, oh, thank you, because I thought I was supposed to do that. I thought I was a little behind because there are people that still don't know Jesus, and I'm just not doing my job good enough. You cannot convert them. You can be an outpost of God's greatness. That's it. So the question is, how do we do that? How do we do it? It all begins with love. It all begins with love. And I know right now some of you have already checked out because you're going, I don't love anybody. Love is ooey, gooey, emotional, and I'm not about that. If you love someone, you're weak. Listen to what Scripture says about love. In John 13:35, it says, by this all people will know that you're my disciples. If you want people to know that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, then Jesus comes in and he says, then there's something very specific that happens. If you want people to know that you're a disciple, they will know it because you have love for one another. They'll know it because they'll see that you have love for other people, and they're going to know that there's something different about you. He knew that there was going to be a world one day where people hated one another. He knew that there was going to be a world one day where people didn't want to have anything to do with anybody else because they were completely different, because they didn't look like them, they didn't talk like them, they didn't do the same sports, they didn't run around with the same kind of people, and because of that, we have no interest in them. And Jesus says, those people who don't look like you, act like you, talk like you, have the same social interest as you, you'll love them. You love them. We have to love them. So how do we love people that are unlovable? Because there's people out there. There's people out there we see all the time that we look at them and go, I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. Like, you're some hate-filled people, some of you out there. I wonder if you like anybody. You even have friends. You hate them too. How do we hate those people? How do we hate the people that are annoying? Or how do we love the people? We don't want to hate them. How do we love the people who are annoying? We first have to love God. Guys, it all starts with loving God. I don't think Jesus was mistaken when he said, okay, here's the first commandment, the greatest commandment, and here's the second greatest commandment. He said the first greatest commandment is this right here, to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with your core, with everything that you are. You are to make God number one. You're supposed to set him as number one. That when you set Christ as number one, and when you love him with everything that you have, Scripture then says, and then love your neighbor as yourself, those that are around you. Let me tell you something, listen to me. You can't love anybody the way God wants you to love them if you have not first loved or love God. So some of you, the reason why you've got so much hate in your heart, the reason why you have so much disinterest in people who are not like you is because you don't have a love for God. I mean, that's how it works. The overflow of our love for God is love towards others. And it's when we love God first that we love people in such a way that they see our love and they go, you're different. It's not like one of those just kind of affectionate high fives where like, hey, man, you're pretty cool and I kind of love you. It's a love that they look at and go, you don't love me just like a bro. You love me like something different. And it's a love that is of God. So what does that love look like? Well, I want to start by telling you what that love doesn't look like. because I think we have a very wrong perspective of how we're supposed to love people. Love that we're supposed to love people with is not trying to convert people just to how you think. It's not just about trying to make people think what you think. Love is not being okay with not knowing where your friend stands in their understanding of God. Love is being aware and going, I need to know, do you know Jesus or not? And if they're your friend and you love them, then don't you want to know if they're going to go to heaven? Don't you want to know that they're on a road going to hell and that you can begin to share with them the truth of Jesus and love them? Love is not being tolerant or okay with their secular worldview of life. Love is not just saying, they just don't believe in Jesus. I don't want to offend them or step on their toes. Guys, let me tell you something. We're so worried about not offending people that we're just going to be okay with them going to hell because we just don't want to offend them. Oh, you're an atheist. Okay, well, you just have your belief. That's okay. I don't want to step on your toes. That's not love. That's hatred. That's hatred. Love is not ignoring the hard conversations that you need to have because it'll be awkward. And some of you are just avoiding these conversations with people. You're avoiding even sharing Jesus with anybody because you're just going, it's just weird. It's just weird. I don't know. I just don't want to talk with them because it's awkward. It makes me feel weird. Love that God wants us to love with is sacrificial. You know what it is? Love is you going out of your way to make sure someone knows that you care. Love is being okay with God telling you, listen, I want you to go hang out with these people. I know they're not like you. I know they don't have a lot of common things with you. But what I need you to do is I need you not to go hang out with these friends tonight. I need you to go hang out with those guys over there. I need you to love them. And you go, man, I know I want to go hang out with them because they're going to have fun tonight, but I'm okay with this. It's sacrifice. I mean, that's what Jesus did for us, right? Jesus sacrificed his life. John 15:13 says this, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. Listen, love that's incredible, love that's great is you going, I'm okay with not doing this so that I can be around you, so that I can love you with the love of God. And it's being okay with that, not, I can't believe I got to do this, and God made me do this, and this is stupid, and I love you though. It's going, hey, that's okay. The love that God wants us to love with is unconditional love, and that's probably one of the hardest ones for us because the love that we know is dependent upon something else. Like many of you, you understand love from your parents as something that you have to earn. Like some of you, you're like, man, I just wish my dad would accept me for who I am. I wish he would just love me for just who I am. But I've got to impress my dad, or I've got to impress my mom, or I've got to impress my friends for them to love me. And so when you think of unconditional love, you're like, what does that look like? Unconditional love is this right here. You saying, it doesn't matter, I love you. You don't have to do a dance to get a hug from me. Because God loves me, I love you. And that's it. Bottom line. It's unconditional. See, Jesus didn't say to you, hey, listen, if you do this, then I will love you. He says, I love you. And that's what he's telling us to do with people. He's saying, listen, I want you to love people unconditionally. So we just kind of walk around and just love people. Just, hey, I love you, man. I love you. No, because the love of God, when we understand God's love and God is flowing his love into us and we're flowing our love into others, you know what happens next? We start becoming Jesus with skin. And we start showing people that we love them by serving them. So we can't convert someone. So if we can't convert someone, then we can share the greatness of God and the love of God and we can love them. But here, it doesn't just stop there. It goes into we have to serve them. We've got to serve people. I love my wife, all right? My wife is cool. My wife is hot. My wife is fun. I love my wife. But if all I ever did was just say, hey, honey, I love you. Hey, honey, I love you. Hey, don't forget, I love you. In her mind, she's going, I hear words. Man, words are pretty good. But until she sees me show that love with action, then maybe it's not really set. So here's something that I love doing. I love when my wife leaves the house and she's out like doing her girl things, or she's running around just having a good time, maybe shopping, going to work, whatever. I love going, you know what? My wife wants these carpets cleaned. So instead of saying when she gets home, I'll just remind her that she needs to clean them. I'll go get a steam cleaner from Home Depot and I'll really clean the carpets. Like, I'll deep clean the carpets. Like, there's not a spot on them. And when she walks in, she goes, wow, thank you. I don't have to clean carpets for a while. This is incredible. I don't do that because I have to. I do that because I love her. I show that I love her by being a servant for her. She didn't even ask me to clean the carpets, and she did it anyway. So as you love people, your proof of love is going to be seen as you serve them. And it's serving with no strings attached. It's serving people saying, I'm not expecting anything in return. I'm just giving to you. I mean, that's what Jesus did. Scripture says in Philippians 2 that he humbled himself and he became a human in form and became a servant. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to serve. Our actions should tell people about Jesus. Our actions should be that reflector. But how many of you have ever heard the statement, tell people about Jesus, and if you have to, use words? Anybody ever heard that before? Tell people about Jesus, and if you have to, use words. You know what that is? That's an excuse for us to never talk about Jesus with people. It's an excuse for you and I to say, I'm just going to live like a Christian. I'm just going to let people just see me and just go, man, what's different about that guy? As followers, listen to me. Through loving them and through serving them, you're going to have opportunities for people to come to you and you to speak the truth of Jesus to them. But we got to open our mouths. We have to open our mouths and speak the truth. We have to tell people the greatness of Jesus. We have to tell people that there's a life that is more abundant with him. And so the Holy Spirit begins to use you to speak life into people. So it's not you converting anybody. It's you being a tool of God to share the truth of Jesus. So we have to love them. We have to serve them. And we do have to open our mouths and share the truth. Because when we love and when we serve, it validates our message. Because unfortunately, there's a lot of people that when they go and share Jesus, people just kind of look at them like they're crazy. Because they look at your life and go, I hear you talk about it, but I don't see you walk in it. So as we walk it, as we live it. Then we speak it. People look and go, you're different. And they want to hear. And they're ripe for harvest as the Holy Spirit uses you to speak. It was a tragedy last night. Kid who goes to school around here, some of you know him, was up north at a camp, had a brain aneurysm and died. Was over at his house just earlier today, a bunch of kids grieving the loss of their friend. And they kept saying this right here. If only he was here one more day. It was too short. It was too quick for him. I had kids looking at me saying, man, you just never know when your time's up. Here's what I say. Why is this important for you to hear tonight? Because you or a person that can speak truth into people. And guess what? You don't know when their time is up. You don't know when they're going to breathe their last breath. The question is, do they know Jesus or do they not? So as believers, what do? We show the love of God. We serve people, and then we tell them the truth. We speak truth. Who do you have in mind? Band's going to make their way up here, and we're just going to sing and worship and just listen to God. So here's a question for you. Do you love others? Are there people in your mind that you know of right now that you're going, I don't love them. I don't love them. In fact, there's people that I hate. And maybe as I say that, maybe people start coming to mind that you've looked at and said, yeah, I just hate you. Or maybe in your heart you hate them. My question for you is this. Do you love God? Is the love of God flowing through you? Because the only way that you can love those people is if the love of God exists in you. So that's where it starts. And then it starts with you saying, God, I want to be an outpost. I want to be a reflector of your greatness. God, I want to do that. I want people to see me and see you. Maybe that's not your heart. And maybe right now the Spirit of God is just kind of pricking you and you're just, in your mind you're going, I want to do that. I want to care about my friend who's going to hell. I want to care about him. I want to care about the football players that I'm around on a daily basis or the baseball players or the volleyball, the basketball, or whoever you're around. I want to care about them. I want to care about the people in my class that I know doesn't know Jesus. God, I want to care about them. I want to. Then it's going to start with you saying, God, change my heart so that I will care about the lost. Change my heart. It's taking the focus off the person and it's putting the focus on God. God, I love you. And God, as a result of loving you, God, I want to love others. Do you love people? Do you care? Do you serve? Or tonight, do you need to come before God and say, God, I don't care. Would you change my heart? Would you change my heart? Some of you, you know of people right now in your mind that you're going, God, help me love him. God, help me serve him. God, help me share the truth with them. Tonight, you just need to pray for them. Tonight, you just need to say, God, Will you help me love them? Would you help me serve them? Would you help me share that truth? God, I need help. Daniel's going to sing over you guys. And this is a time for you to pray. It's a time for you to respond. If you need to come up here and pray, come pray. If you need to sit at your chair or get down on your knees in your chair and pray, pray. This is your time. Ask God to change your heart. As Daniel sings, you guys just respond to what God wants you to do.